Guardian Unlimited. Wolf Brother by Michelle Paver is read by Ian McKellen and brought to you by audible.co.uk. Listen out for next week's instalment.
Chapter 25. The fury of the ice river broke upon them with terrifying force. Torak had to lean into the blast just to stay standing and clutch his cape to stop it being ripped away. Through the streaming snow, he saw Wren pushing forwards with all her strength, Wolf staggering sideways, his eyes slitted against the wind. The ice river had them in its grip, and it wasn't letting go. It howled till Torek's ears ached and scoured his face with flying ice. It spun him round till he could no longer see Wren or Wolf, or even his own boots. At any moment it might hurl him into an ice hole. Through the swirling whiteness he caught sight of a dark pillar, a rock, a snowdrift. Could it be that they'd finally reached the edge of the ice river? Wren grabbed his arm. "We can't go on," she shouted. "We've got to dig in and wait till it's over." "Not yet," he yelled. "Look, we're nearly there." He battled on towards the pillar. It shattered and blew apart. It was nothing but a snow cloud. The ice river's vicious trick. He turned to Wren. "You're right. We've got to dig a snow cave." But Wren was gone. "Wren! Wren!" The ice river tore her name from his lips and whirled it away into the gathering dusk. It dropped to his knees and groped for Wolf. His mitten found fur, and he clutched the cub. Wolf was casting around for Wren's scent, but what could even a wolf pick up in this? Amazingly, Wolf pricked his ears and stared straight ahead. Torak thought he saw a figure gliding through the snow. "Wren!" Wolf leapt after it, and Torak followed, but he hadn't gone far when the wind threw him against solid ice. He fell back, nearly crushing the cub. He'd blundered into what looked like an ice hill. In its side was a hole just big enough to crawl through. A snow cave? Surely Wren wouldn't have had time to dig one so quickly. With one bound, Wolf disappeared inside. After a moment's hesitation, Torak followed. The clamour of the ice river died down as he crawled into the darkness. With ice-caked mittens, he felt out his surroundings. A low roof, so low that he had to crouch on hands and knees. A slab of ice by the entrance hole. Someone must have cut it for a door. But who? "Wren," he called. No reply. He pushed the slab across the hole, and the stillness closed in around him. He could hear Wolf licking the snow from his paws, ice sliding from his own shoulders. He put out his hand, and Wolf gave a warning growl. Torak snatched his hand away. The hairs on the back of his neck began to prickle. Wren wasn't in here. But something was. Something that waited in the dark. "Who's there?" he said. The icy blackness seemed to tense. Wrenching off his mittens with his teeth, he whipped out his knife. "Who's there?" Still no answer. He groped for one of Wren's rushlights. His fingers were so cold that he dropped his tinder pouch. It took forever to find it again, to hit the flint against the strike fire and shower sparks on the little pile of yew-bark shavings in his hand. But at last the rushlight flared. He cried out. He forgot about the ice river. He even forgot about Wren. Almost touching his knee lay a man. He was dead. Torak flattened himself against the ice wall. If Wolf hadn't warned him, he would have touched the corpse, and to touch the dead is to risk terrible danger. When the souls leave the body, they can be angry, confused, or simply unwilling to embark on the death journey. If one of the living strays too close, the disembodied souls may try to possess it or follow it home. All this rushed through Torak's mind as he stared at the dead man. His lips looked chiselled from ice. His flesh was waxen yellow. Snow had drifted into his nostrils in a cruel parody of breath, but his ice-filmed eyes were open, staring at something Torak couldn't see, something that was cradled in the crook of his dead arm. Wolf seemed unafraid, even drawn to the corpse. He lay with his muzzle between his paws, gazing at it steadily. The dead man had worn his long brown hair loose, except for a single lock at the temple, matted with red ochre. Torak thought of the red deer woman at Finkedin's clan meet. She'd worn her hair the same way. Had this man been of the same clan?
same clan as Torek's own mother?
He felt the stirrings of pity. What was the man's name? What had he been seeking out here, and how had he died? Then Torek saw that on the brown forehead a shaky circle had been daubed in red ochre. The thick winter parka had been wrenched open, and another circle drawn on the breastbone. Torek guessed that if he were reckless enough to remove the heavy furred boots, he'd find a similar mark on each heel. Death marks. The man must have felt death coming for him, and put on his own marks so that his souls would stay together after he died. That must be why he'd left the slab ajar, too, to set the souls free.
"You were brave," said Torek out loud.
"You didn't flinch from death." He remembered the figure he'd glimpsed in the snow. Had that been one of the souls setting out on its final journey?
Could you see souls?
Torek didn't know. "Be at peace," he told the corpse. "May your souls find their rest and stay together." He bowed his head for his dead kinsman. Wolf sat up, pricking his ears at the corpse. Torek was startled. Wolf seemed to be listening. Torek leaned closer. The dead man gazed calmly at the thing cradled in his arm, but when Torek saw what it was, he was even more puzzled. It was an ordinary lamp, a smooth oval of red sandstone about half the size of his palm, with a shallow bowl to hold the fish oil, and a groove for the wick of twisted beard moss. The wick had long since burned away, and all that remained of the oil was a faint greyish stain. Beside him, Wolf gave a high, soft whine. His hackles were up, but he didn't seem frightened. That whine had been a greeting. Torek frowned. Wolf had acted like this before, in the cave below the thunderfalls. His eyes returned to the dead man. He pictured his final moments, curled in the snow, watching the small, bright flame as his own life flickered and sank. Suddenly, Torek knew. Coldest of all, the darkest light. The darkest light is the last light a man sees before he dies. He had found the third piece of the Nanuak. Gripping the rushlight in one hand, Torek untied the raven-skin pouch with the other and tipped the box into the snow. "Oof!" warned Wolf. Torek slipped off the hair cord and lifted the lid. The river eyes stared blindly up at him, nestled in the curve of the black stone tooth. There was just enough room beside them for the lamp, almost, he thought, as if Wren had known how big to make the box. With numb fingers he pulled on one mitten and leaned over the dead man, being careful not to touch him, and lifted the lamp clear. It was only when he'd got it safely boxed and back in the pouch that he realized he'd been holding his breath. It was time to go and find Wren. Quickly he tied the pouch to his belt, but as he turned to push the slab aside, something made him stop. He had all three pieces of the Nanuak, here, in this snow cave, where he was safe. "If you get caught in a snowstorm," Wren had said, "you dig yourself a snow cave and wait till it stops." If he ignored that now, if he braved the wrath of the ice river to look for her, he probably wouldn't survive. The Nanuak would be buried with him. The entire forest would be doomed. If he didn't, Wren might die. Torek sat back on his heels. Wolf watched him intently, his amber eyes quite uncub-like. The rushlight wavered in Torek's hand. He couldn't just leave her. She was his friend. Could he, should he, risk the forest to save her? As never before, he longed for Far. Far would know what to do. But Far isn't here, he told himself. You've got to decide. You, Torek, by yourself. Wolf tilted his head to one side, waiting to see what Torek would do. Chapter 26. "Torek!" yelled Wren at the top of her voice. "Torek! Wolf! Where are you?" She was alone in the storm. They could be three paces away and she'd never see them. They could have fallen down an ice hole and she'd never hear the screams. The wind tossed her into a drift and she choked on snow. One of her mittens slipped off, and the ice river blew it away. No! She shouted, beating the snow with her fists. No, no, no! On her hands and knees, she crawled into the wind. Stay calm. Find solid snow. Dig in. After an endless struggle, she hit a snow hill. The wind had packed it hard, but not so hard that it was solid ice. Wrenching her axe from her belt, she began hacking a hole. Torax probably doing the same thing, she told herself. By the spirit, I hope so. With surprising speed, she hacked out a hollow just big enough to take herself and her pack if she curled up small. The digging warmed her, but she could no longer feel her mittenless hand. Crawling in backwards, she piled the scooped-out chunks in the entrance hole, walling herself up in the freezing darkness. Her breath soon melted the ice that caked her clothes, and she began to shake. As her eyes adjusted to the gloom, she saw that her mittenless fingers were white and hard. She tried to flex them, but they didn't move. She knew about frostbite. The Boar clan leader's son, Aki, had lost 3 toes to it last winter. If she didn't warm up her fingers soon, they'd turn black and die. Then she'd have to cut them off, or she would die too. Desperately, she blew on them, then shoved her hand inside her jerkin under her armpit. The hand felt heavy and cold, no longer part of her. Fresh terrors arose. Would she die alone, like her father? Would she never see Finn Kedin again? Where were Torak and Wolf? Even if they survived, how would she find them? Pulling off her remaining mittens, she fumbled at her neck for the grouse bone whistle that Torak had given her. She blew hard. It made no sound. Was she doing it right? Would Wolf be able to hear it? Maybe it only worked for Torak. Maybe you had to be the listener. She blew till she felt giddy and sick. They won't come, she thought. They'll have dug in long ago, if they're still alive. The whistle tasted salty. Was that the grouse bone, or was she crying? No point crying, she told herself. Screwing her eyes shut, she went on blowing. She awoke to find herself floating in beautiful heat. The snow was as warm and soft as reindeer skins. She snuggled into it, so drowsy that she couldn't even lift her eyelids. Much too drowsy to crawl into her sleeping sack. Voices dragged her awake. Finn Kedin and Saiyan had come to visit her. I wish they'd let me sleep, she thought hazily. Her brother was sneering, as he always did. Why did she make it so small? Why can't she ever do things properly? Hord, that's not true, said Finn Kedin. She did her best. Still, said Saiyan. She could have made a better door. I was just too tired, mumbled Ren. Just then the door blew open, scattering ice all over her. Shut the door, she protested. One of the camp dogs jumped on top of her, showering her with snow and nudging his cold nose under her chin. She batted him away. Bad dog, go away. Wake up, Ren, Torak shouted in her ear. I must sleep, murmured Ren, burying her face in the snow. No, you're not, shouted Torak. He was longing for sleep himself, but first he had to make room for him and Wolf and waken Ren. If she fell asleep now, it would be forever. Ren, come on! He grabbed her shoulders and shook her. Wake up! Leave me alone, she said. I'm fine. But she wasn't. Her face was blotched and inflamed by the flying ice, her eyes almost swollen shut. The fingers of her right hand were hard and waxy, unnervingly like those of the red deer corpse. As Torak hacked at the snow, he wondered how much longer she would have lasted if Wolf hadn't found her, and how much longer he and Wolf would have lasted if they hadn't found her snow cave. Torak was nearly worn out. He'd never have had the strength to start one afresh. Of the three of them, Wolf was holding up the best. His fur was so thick that the snow lay on top of it without even melting. One good shake and the snow flew off, showering them all. Swaying with exhaustion, Torak finished enlarging the snow cave and walled up the entrance again, leaving a gap at the top to let out the smoke from the fire he'd promised himself. Then he knelt beside Wren and, after several attempts, dragged her sleeping sack out from behind her. "Get into this," he growled. She kicked it away. Scooping snow between his frozen fists, he rubbed it into her face and hands.
"Ow!"
she yelped. "Wake up or I'll kill you," he snarled.
"You are killing me,"
she snapped. Knowing he had to make a fire soon, he rubbed his own hands in the snow, then tried to warm them in his armpits. As feeling returned, so did the pain.
"Oh," he moaned. "Oh, ow, it hurts."
"What did you say?" said Wren, sitting up and banging her head on the ceiling.
"Nothing."
"Yes, you did. You were talking to yourself."
"I was talking to myself. You were chatting to your entire clan."
"I was not," she retorted indignantly.
"You were," he said with a grin.
She was waking up at last. He'd never been so glad to be having an argument. Somehow, between them, they managed to make a fire. Fire needs warmth as well as air, so they used some of their firewood to make a little platform to keep the rest off the snow, and this time, instead of fumbling with his strike fire, Torak remembered the fire roll in his pack. At first, the fire in the birch bark roll refused to wake up, even when he blew on it coaxingly, and Wren fed it morsels of tinder warmed in her hands. Eventually, it flared, rewarding their efforts with a small but cheering blaze. With dripping hair and chattering teeth, they huddled over it, moaning as it thawed their hands and blistered their faces. But the flames gave them comfort greater than heat. Every night of their lives they'd gone to sleep to that crackling hiss and that bittersweet tang of wood smoke. The fire was a little piece of the forest. Torak found his last roll of dried deer meat and shared it between the three of them. Wren gave him the water skin. He hadn't known he was thirsty, but as he took a long drink, he felt strength returning.
"How did you find me?" Wren asked.
"I didn't," he replied.
"Wolf did."
"I don't know how." She considered that.
"I think I do."
She showed him the grass-bone whistle. Torak thought of her blowing that silent whistle in the dark. He wondered what it had been like all alone. At least he'd had Wolf. He told her about the red deer corpse and finding the third part of the Nanwak. He didn't mention the awful moment when he'd considered not trying to find her. He felt too ashamed.
"A stone lamb," murmured Wren. "I wouldn't have thought of that. Do you want to see it?"
She shook her head. After a while, she said, "If it had been me, I'd have thought twice about leaving the snow cave. You were risking the Nanwak." Torak was silent. Then he said, "I did think twice. I thought about staying and not going to look for you." She went quiet.
"Well," she said, "I'd have done the same."
Torak didn't know if he felt better or worse for telling her.
"But what would you have done?" he asked. "Would you have stayed? Or gone to look for me?"
Wren wiped her nose on the back of her hand. Then she flashed him her sharp-toothed grin.
"Who knows? But maybe it was another kind of test. Not whether you could find the third piece of the Nanwak, but whether you could risk it for a friend."
Torak awoke to a hushed blue glow. He didn't know where he was.
"Storm's over," said Wren.
"And I've got a crick in my neck." So had Torak. Huddled in his sleeping sack, he turned to face her. Her eyes were no longer swollen, but her face was red and peeling. When she smiled, it obviously hurt.
"Oh," she croaked. "We survived."
He grinned back, then wished he hadn't. His face felt as if it had been scrubbed with sand. He probably looked just like Wren.
"Now all we've got to do is get off the ice river," he said.
Wolf was whining to be let out. Torak groped for his axe and hacked a hole. Light streamed in and Wolf shot out. Torak crawled after him. He emerged into a glittering world of snow hills and wind-carved ridges. The sky was intensely blue, as if it had been washed clean. The stillness was absolute. The ice river had gone back to sleep. Without warning, Wolf pounced on him, knocking him into a snowdrift. Before he could get up, Wolf leapt onto his chest, grinning and wagging his tail. Laughing, Torak lunged for him, but Wolf dodged out of his reach, then spun round in mid-air and bowed down with his tail curled over his back. "Let's play!" Torak went down on his forearms. "Come on, then!" Wolf launched himself at Torak, and together they rolled over and over, Wolf play-biting and tearing at Torak's hair, and Torak muzzle-grabbing and tugging at his scruff. Finally, Torak tossed a snowball high, and Wolf made one of his amazing twisting leaps and snapped it up, landing in a snowdrift and surfacing with a neat pile of snow on top of his nose. As Torak struggled breathlessly to his feet, he heard Wren making her way out of the snow cave. "I hope," she yawned, "it's not too far to the forest." "What happened to your cape?" He was about to tell her that the storm had ripped it away when he turned and forgot about the cape. East beyond the snow cave, beyond the ice river itself, the high mountains were terrifyingly close. For many days the fog had hidden them. Then yesterday the ice cliffs had loomed so close that nothing could be seen beyond them. Now, in the clear, cold light, the mountains ate up the sky. Torak reeled. For the first time in his life, they weren't just a distant darkness on the eastern horizon. He stood at their very roots, craning his neck at vast, swooping ice faces, at black peaks that pierced the clouds. He felt their power and menace. They were the abode of spirits, not of men. Somewhere among them, he thought, lies the mountain of the world spirit. The mountain I swore to find.
The first three books in the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series by Michelle Paver are available to download at audible.co.uk for the special multi-buy price of $14.99 until the end of August. If you enjoyed Wolf Brother, you'll want to join The Clan, the official worldwide fan site for all readers of the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series. The Clan is where thousands of fans just like you meet for games and chat, role-playing, art competitions, writing contests and quizzes. Best of all, it's free. So go to www.torak.info, that's TORAK.INFO, and join The Clan now.
Guardian Unlimited.